Well, today I just want to read to you a few verses in Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth for ever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. Now, just in my daily reading, it happened to be just this Psalm 33, verse 13. And I thought I'd just read a little bit, just a little bit, what it says, just about that verse, for it just seemed very precious to me, as God just looks down on all the sons of men. The Lord looketh down from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. How can we but love him, when we know that he numbers the very hairs of our heads, marks our path, and orders our ways? This great truth is brought near to our heart when we recollect how attentive he is, not merely to the temporal interests of his creatures, but to their spiritual concerns. Though a long distance separates the finite creatures and the infinite Creator, there are links uniting both. When you weep, God is very aware of it. Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Your sigh is able to move the heart of Jehovah. Your whisper can incline his ear to you. Your prayer can stay his hand, and your face can move his arm. Do not think that God sits on high, taking no account of you. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Next month, Mrs. Mavis Saxby is going to speak to us, so we hope to see you all again, second Tuesday of next month. And we welcome now Margaret to come and speak to us.
Well, thank you for asking me along again. I've got a very bad throat, but I've prayed a lot about it, so we'll just keep going along. And I was very interested to listen while Doreen was reading, because I happened to call my message today, I See You, and it fits in just right. You know, I've been running out to my veranda and looking at my pot plants. Do you know why? Last spring, I was about to water one of my pot plants, and I had to stop in midair, because in the pot plant was a nest and three little green eggs. And I had the joy last spring of seeing those English blackbirds, I found out, come out of the eggs. And Mum and Dad sit on them, but before they came out of the eggs, Mum and Dad, I think it was them, taking turns to sit on the eggs, and then the little birds being fed, and then their first flight, and then later on they were still in my backyard just hovering around. And I just felt so blessed, and I thought, my, I'm the only one that's witnessed all this. And I thought, no, you're not, Margaret. God knew all about those little eggs before they were even laid. And this Sunday, thank you, this Sunday there happened to be two young girls sing a duet, and it was, "His eye is on the sparrow and I know he watches me." And so I thought I'd call my little talk today, "I See You." Now, in the country in Africa where we lived for many years, one of the greetings was just that, "Mdoi, I see you." I thought, what a lovely greeting. We say hello. I don't even know what that means, do you? But what a lovely greeting to come up to somebody and say, "I see you." It's kind of saying, "You're important to me. Everything, the whole world might pass by, but I see you." And there was one man in Africa, I wouldn't have dared ask how he was. We usually say to one another, "Good morning, how are you?" And then we don't really wait very long to listen to how they are. They say, "Oh, I'm fine, thank you," and our arthritis is killing us and we can barely speak or whatever. And so we pass one another. Well, as I've said, there was one man in Africa I wouldn't have dared ask, because it would have taken him an hour to tell me how pains were travelling from one little toe up to the very top of his head. So I never asked him how he was. But the Lord, you know, and even if we did tell somebody how we were feeling, they wouldn't really quite understand, would they? But the Lord Jesus does. He understands us completely. He knows us and he sees us and understands us better than we even understand ourselves. We find it difficult to understand ourselves sometimes, and the men in our life never understand us. But I like that African greeting, "I see you." I think it reminds me of the Lord's knowledge of me, his care for me, and that he's seeing me today right where I am, at everything that's happening in my life, the way I feel. He really sees, he knows, and he cares. Each one of us, he really sees us. He knows our very personal needs and our very personal problems. He loves each one of us in a very special way. There will never be another you. And God made you someone special, and he loves you, and he sees you today as someone very special. He sees you and he cares for you. I want you to take this message home with you today. If you listen to nothing else, God sees you today. He knows you. He cares for you. At home, I'd love you to read the whole of Psalm 139, because that's where I'm just going to take a few of my points from today. Verses 1 to 10, 6 tell us that the Lord sees us personally. Then 7 to 12 tells us he sees our pain, whether it be large or small, whatever it is, he sees us. 13 to 18, he sees our path. He knows the way we're going. And verse 23 to 24, he sees our problem. I see you personally. You are significant. You are important to God. We can glibly say to children, can't we, "God sees everything. God hears everything." But I wonder if we really, really take that in. Do we realise how wonderfully he knows each one of us? God sees me. God knows me. He knows wherever I am and whatever I'm doing. He knows, it tells us in this psalm, our thoughts, even before we have them. I know my son Stephen used to always be amazed that I knew when he was pulling a trick on me. He thought, how would Mum know? Little did he know that I'd been a child once too. And so we do know, don't we? But God knows our thoughts even before they become a thought. He sees into the very depths of our hearts. He knows our thoughts and our emotions. It tells us in these verses that he knows, he knows when we rise up, when we sit down, and I've written down here, he even knows when we're turning around in circles and we don't know where we are, whether we're Arthur or Martha. He knows all about us. He knows about even the very ordinary days of our lives. Not just the big, extraordinary ones when things seem big and gloomy. He knows about the ordinary days. And I've been calling some of my ordinary days lately Mr. Bean days. I know a lot of people laugh like mad about those Mr. Bean films on TV. But I don't laugh. I feel sorry for him because I think I live some days like that too. One recently that I had, first of all, I locked the keys in the car and then I was rushing and then it was raining and I slipped over and fell down on the footpath. A nice man picked me up. That was nice. But then I got home and I needed badly a cup of tea, and when I was pouring the water out, I poured it on the hand. I thought, this just isn't my day. And then I thought, but God knows even about those days when nothing seems to go right. Do you know what happened? My sister gave me a brand new kettle. I thought that was rather good. She decided it wasn't just me being silly, it was the kettle's fault. So that made me feel better too. But he knows all about our days, all about our ways, whatever's happening. And I don't know about these little girls that we've got with us today, but I do remember my four boys when they were small. And they used to play hide and seek in the backyard. And I can remember one of them shutting his eyes really tight, singing out, "You can't see me." And he thought because he couldn't see the boys, they couldn't see him. Sometimes we're a bit like that with God, aren't we? Just because we can't see him, sometimes we forget that he sees us and he loves us and cares for us in a very personal way. Knowing that God sees us should make us feel safe and secure, because he sees us, he knows us, he loves us, and we're safe. He understands us. We are told in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 32 about a lady called Leah. And she felt terrible. Do you know what God saw about her? It tells us in the Bible. He saw that she was not loved. Now, isn't that incredible? He saw that she was not loved and he did something about it. He gave her children. We read in our Bibles how the Lord Jesus saw people. What about Zacchaeus up the tree? He thought nobody could see him there, but even before he got up there, the Lord knew he was going to be up there. And he saw people and he knew their hearts and he cared. And because the Lord Jesus is God, but also became to earth as man, he understands completely. He understood. He knew. He knows what it is to feel tired, to be disappointed, to be rejected, to be let down by family and friends. He knows it all. He knows what it's like to be poor. He knows how we worry about the little things that come each day to us. One day I was walking past a house. I go on an early morning walk about 6:15. I go along at a great pace and suddenly I heard this little voice calling out, "Hello, Mrs. Cow." And I looked over. I couldn't see because the early sun was shining on the flywire door and I couldn't see the child that was there. And I called out, "Hello." But I would have loved to have called out, "Hello, Susie," or "Hello, whoever," because it's so important for children and all of us to know that we are known by name and who we are. We are never out of God's sight. We are never unknown to him. We are never unloved. And God loved us so much that he sent the Lord Jesus to die for us, so that we would not be punished for our sin. He not only wanted us to know how much he loved us when he sent the Lord Jesus, but he sent the Lord Jesus for us so that we could be forgiven and belong to him, be one of his children, be his child. Well, God sees into our hearts today too, and he's looking into hearts here, and he knows if there's a heart here that doesn't belong to him. Somebody perhaps who's never accepted the Lord Jesus as their own personal saviour. He knows, he sees, and he loves. Don't forget that. Verses 7 to 12 in this psalm, "I see your pain." Whatever our situation might be, we are never out of the Lord's sight. But bigger than that, we are never out of his presence. He is with us. There's a beautiful verse in this psalm, verse 10, and I've hung on to it many, many times. And Amy Carmichael emphasizes the little words, even there. Verse 10, even there your hand will guide me. Even there your right hand will hold me fast. Even there, whatever it is, a little trouble or a big trouble, a huge trial, a travesty, whatever it is, his hand is there to guide us and to hold us fast. The darkest difficulty, the most complicated crisis, the most terrifying tragedy, the cruelest piercing pain that no one else can understand, the deepest grief and loss. He sees, he knows, he understands, and more than that, he's there to love, guide, and hold you fast. Nothing can hide us from him. Remember the beautiful verses at the end of Romans, that there's nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. You know, in Matthew 10 and verse 29, the Lord tells us there that he sees the tiniest sparrow fall. So we're back to our birds again. But do you know what really touches me in that section too? That sparrow only falls in accordance with God's will. So he's in control. He knows what is happening. But more than that, he's in control and he's working things together for good. The Lord allows the tough times, and during those times, he'll hold us. And while he's holding us and we allow him to hold us, he knows how much we can bear. He will not give us more than we can take, and he will help us stand up under that. The Lord, in those times, not only holds us, but he works in us, and he works for us, and he works in those things that are happening around us for good, for those who love him, for those who are following him, for those who belong to him. He works for good. He knows us and he knows what he's doing. We've got to remember that. And as we trust him, what happens? Our faith will grow. And if we didn't have these trying times, we would not have times to learn to trust. Trying times are great opportunities for trusting times, aren't they? And in those times, we grow closer to him, our faith grows, and we grow more like the Lord Jesus. Romans 8:28 and verse 29 tell us that the very reason that he's working all that's happening in our lives for good is that we might become more and more like the Lord Jesus. You know, in the Gospels, one day we read about a lady who was in heaps of pain. She had a problem that had gone on for 12 years. And no one could help her. And just the tiniest touch on the hem of the Lord's garment, and he knew. He knew who it was. He knew what it was all about. He knew that touch. Even in the pressure of the crowd around him, he knew that touch of that lady. And his hand was out to help her. Another that we read about a widow in Luke chapter 7, and these are the very words in the Bible. It says, the Lord saw her and his heart went out to her. The Lord sees you today and his heart goes out to you. The Lord sees our suffering, and even there he is with us, he will guide us, he will hold us up, and bigger than that, he'll work for good. So don't worry. If you worry, you're not trusting. But if you trust, you won't worry. He does see, he does know, and he does care. Why worry when you can pray? I think that was an old hymn a long time ago. Why worry when you can pray? I may have told you this before. I hope I haven't. I might. Sometimes I've said to my children, just say, Mum, this is replay, if I'm saying something again. But anyhow, if I've told you this before, too bad. I found a long fair hair once in a commentary that had been stored away when we were away in Africa for 11 long years. And we came back and I found this very long fair hair. I thought, well, it can't be my hair. I mean, the hair's fair now, but it wasn't in those years. It was very dark. And I thought, I don't know whose hair this is. Certainly not Laurie's hair. And then I thought, God knows whose hair that is. It tells us, and I think Doreen mentioned it, how he know, God knows the number of hairs on our head, and even the ones that fell out on the carpet, or even the ones that are in a commentary. He knows, he sees us, he loves us, he cares for us so much. He knows, and he cares about what is happening to us today, and he can guide us and hold us up right there. Hopeless situations remind us that we are helpless without God. Now, if you're in a hopeless situation today, thank God for it, because you have a great opportunity to realise once again that you are helpless without God, that he sees you and that he can help you right there. He has promised that when we turn to him in prayer and trust in him, we'll have strength like eagles and we'll be able to rise above and over it. The eagle is the only bird, I read, who will not seek shelter or hide away from a storm. What they do when the storm comes, they allow it to lift them up. That's wonderful, isn't it? And the storm becomes wind beneath their wings. God sees you in the midst of your storm today. Do you know what he's seeing though also? If you've got a worrying heart or a trusting heart, he knows. And if we've had a worrying heart, well, failure is not final. We can just tell him all about that worry and hand it over to him. Commit it to him. Say, Lord, this is my problem. I give it to you. I commit it to you. Something that's committed is put there and it's put right away. I've forgotten the exact definition in the dictionary, but to be committed means to be put right there, just left there, never to be taken out again. This trial means an opportunity to trust. Now I see your path, verses 13 to 18. God saw us and knew us even before we were conceived. That's what you find out in this psalm too. We've got two grandchildren now, two granddaughters. And I can remember the way I felt when I looked at those ultrasound pictures. I mean, it's all amazing, isn't it? It just blows my mind, everything that happens now. But when I held my first granddaughter, I thought, I saw you, but now I'm going to get to know you. Now I know you, what you really look like. And you look into their little eyes and you say, but you know, Jade is now two and a half, and her personality is it's there, it's marvellous. Of course, I'm her grandmother, but anyhow, and I'm getting to know her more and more and more. But do you know what? God knew her before I even saw the ultrasound. Before he knew all about her, he knew the days, her days that she's going to have. He knows. He knows the choices she's going to make, and he knows all about her. I saw you before you were conceived, even in the womb. God knows us that well. He knows the path our lives will take. And verses 17 and 18 tell us that God's thoughts towards us are so numerous they outnumber the grains of the sand on the sea. Wow. That's enormous. What are his thoughts towards us? His thoughts towards you today, the Bible tells us, they are thoughts of love. Love so big that he wants you to be his child. He wants you to walk with him and to trust him and to leave your cares with him, to follow him all the days of your life, and then after that to live with him forever. That's what his thoughts are towards you today. So many thoughts that they are more numerous than the grains of sand on the seashore. We couldn't belong to him the way we were because sin blocked us away even from his presence. And that's why he sent the Lord Jesus to die for us, so that our sins could be forgiven. The Lord Jesus took the punishment for our sin on himself, so that we could be forgiven and belong to him. We don't automatically belong to God. We have to believe and accept, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own Saviour. Some people, you know, become a Christian and they take that first step of faith, and that's wonderful. They belong to the Lord, and that's wonderful. But then they forget that it's just the first step of many steps of faith. And I think there's a Chinese proverb that says something about every journey begins with a step, something like that. Anyhow, and so, okay, we've become a Christian. And that step of faith was so very, very important to God's heart, because that made us his child. But now he wants us to grow up and to walk with him, learn from him, have him guide us, be with us day by day. And he wants us to, as we grow, become more and more like his family, more like the Lord Jesus. You know, God knows the hearts of each one of us, sees them and knows us. He knows if perhaps we took that first step of faith, but if today we're not trusting. Perhaps he is even seeing that perhaps other things have crowded in and taken his place in our lives, and he's not first in our lives anymore. Perhaps there's things or someone, or perhaps there's fears that have crowded him out. He knows. He sees and knows. The Lord has a path for our lives. He knows the path that we're walking right today. And he knows what's ahead of us. What a better guide could we have than the Lord Jesus Christ to walk with us? He alone knows the way that we take. And he alone can be with us as we walk that way to help us. We don't have to be anyone special. We just need to put the Lord first in our life, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So put our trust in him and then walk with him. Let him guide us day by day. How do we learn to trust him more? How do we learn which way he wants us to take as he guides us? Through prayer and the study of his word. Through that quiet time with him, there's no other way. Spend time with the Lord in prayer and Bible study. There will never be another you. You are walking a path and filling a spot in a place that no one else will fill. It may be not filling, you might not think a great place, but it is a place that no one else can fill. There was a lady in the Bible who had some precious perfume, and you remember her. And she had it and she broke it and poured the contents on the Lord Jesus. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said about her as he praised her? He said she did what she could. And there's things that we can do that no one else can do where we are today. When you read the New Testament, you find that there are ordinary people there who trusted the Lord Jesus and followed him, obeyed his word and served him where they were. Served him? How? By serving others. It's not always easy, and sometimes we do feel fearful about the future. But these verses in Psalm 139 assure us that God sees and knows, and he's ahead of us. He just wants us to follow. Trust him today to guide you. He's with you and to hold you today. Here's a nice quote. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. I decided I would knit something for my second granddaughter, but I think it'll have to be for the third grandchild because I haven't had much time to do it. And I went into the shop and I said to the lady in the shop, it's ages since I've done any knitting. I'd like something pretty but fairly simple. Well, she gave me this beautiful wool. It's that multi-coloured and had a... I didn't know if this was going to be a boy or a girl. So it had a touch of yellow and a blue and green. It was very pretty. And then she gave me the pattern. It is the hardest pattern in the whole world. It's a cable stitch and I've got this third needle all the time. And it's incredible. And you know, I've done the back and the front because it was all in one piece. And I'm on the sleeve. You know, on the sleeves, I'm knitting the back. I'm suddenly beginning to see how it works. But I have obeyed that pattern. You can believe it. I have obeyed it. I've written myself notes about increasing and decreasing and where I'm up to and where I'm not up to. And I thought, it's just like that, perhaps, with our lives. All we've got to do is trust and obey. We might not really click into how the pattern's working, but we just have to trust and obey. It's looking beautiful. I've got to be careful and I'm not getting too proud, but it looks great. It really does. And I thought, that's just like in our lives, isn't it? We've got to trust and obey. He knows the path. He knows the pattern for our life. We've just got to follow. Know that He sees us, loves us, cares for us, and He's with us. And just follow. And one day we'll see how beautiful it all is. Let's just finish quickly with verses 23 to 24. I see your problem. Verse 1 of Psalm 139, David says this, O Lord, you have searched me. But then down in verse 23, he makes it a prayer. And I think it's a lovely prayer. He prays that the Lord, that God will... Let me read it. Whoops, the daisy. Have to turn over. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Perhaps there's anxieties in our lives and hearts that we're not aware of. Perhaps we've got doubts. Perhaps there's a bitter spirit. Perhaps there's somebody we haven't forgiven. Perhaps there's something that we should have done that we haven't done. This is a lovely prayer, isn't it? That God will search our hearts and show us if there's any way in which we might be offending Him today. And He will show us and gently lead us on the way. He will reveal it to us and show us what we should do. Might just be a little thought. Go and ring up Mrs. Jones and whatever. Something that we should do. Something perhaps not necessarily wrong, but something we may have omitted to do. Write to someone, tell them that we're thinking about them, that we're praying for them. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. He sees us. He wants to help us see ourselves too. And so that there is something, if there is something in us that is offensive to Him or blocking Him, that He can help us fix it up. And you know, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 assures us that He will forgive us and cleanse us and help us to go on in those paths of righteousness, walking with Him. My faith felt shattered once, and I knew that my doubts were bigger than my faith. And I knew they were huge, and I had so many questions for God. And I prayed just as a man did in the Bible, I believe, help my unbelief. And so if we've got doubts, if we think that perhaps the Lord isn't seeing us exactly as He should or doesn't really know what's happening to us, He does. But let's tell Him about our doubts and just ask His forgiveness and ask Him to help us to trust Him. Feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. One thing I did do for Jade, they live out at Dubbo now, so I'm devastated. But anyhow, I decided that I will go out and see them once a month, whatever. So I've even driven the 4 hours out there by myself, stayed 3 hours and driven back again. So I sent her a little, she loves nursery rhymes, especially Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and all that. So I borrowed a nursery rhyme tape from the library. I hope this isn't illegal, but I did copy it, okay. But at the front of the tape and at the bottom of the tape, I told her some little stories. Just little grandmother stories. Well, Donna said that when she listened to the tape, she put her arms around the tape recorder and she said, Nanny, would you like a hot drink? You see, I love her, and my thoughts were with her, and my voice was with her, but I couldn't see her. I wasn't with her. I don't know her like God knows her. God sees us today. He knows us. He loves us. He's with us. He cares for us. He wants to guide us. He wants to hold us. And He can, if we trust in Him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Thank you.